What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, September 7th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Belinda Garcia.
Hey, guys.
From Geeks of Color. How
Hello.
Are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. I was terrified I was going to say Geeks with Color. I keep screwing that up when
you
I talk to people.
You did screw that up because apparently you mentioned us at the panel and you screwed it up really bad.
Whenever I say, not really bad, one word off. Have you ever heard me try to pronounce a Japanese name? I'm doing pretty good. But it's the thing is when I get there, I usually say one and then I question myself and say the other. So I'm saying them both.
Yeah.
There's also a podcast, I'm sure, called Geeks with Color, and they're like, I can't believe I'm getting all this free promotion.
You're just like, you know? Yeah, and that is absolutely not us, but, you know, I'm sure they're very thankful for
but
that.
But now we figured it out. You're here. Belinda, tell me all about yourself.
I am finishing up as a student at Academy of Art University here in the city, which is why I'm here. I can just hop over. Yeah, so I'm studying writing for film, television, and digital media.
Nice.
So I'm right in the realm of that. But I do news reporting for Geeks of Color.
Of.
And so I do that. Actually, they kind of just made me their events coordinator.
Hey,
so I'm the annoying person that's like sending out all the emails and being like, let's get ready for New York Comic Con,
which
we are all going to. And it's going to be super, super great.
Yeah.
But so the gaming section of like Geeks of Color is like we're building it. And you met Jordan and Amber from Geeks of Color.
Yeah.
And they kind of produce our podcast, which is called Game Boys of Color.
Okay.
Dope, right?
That's a good one. Dope. That's a good one.
It's super dope because guess who came up
with it? You came up with that too.
Yeah,
look
at
you. Just taking all the credit here.
I like puns, so that happened. So we're like building the gaming section of that and our podcast is doing great.
Awesome.
And it's super fun. They're amazing, amazing people. And yeah.
Stoked to have you along for the ride today.
Yes.
Of course, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD, with your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, and everything else under the video game sun. Then watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you today. Guess what?
What?
It's September 7th.
Is that Spider-Man
Day? That is Spider-Man Day, everybody. Spider-Man is out in the wild. Congratulations to Insomniac. Congratulations to all of you who have been playing it and sending me images of the one and only shirtless Spider-Man. More of that on my Twitter. Remember, right now, for the month of September, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames is offering a signed glossy cover of shirtless Spider-Man made by our kind of funny best friend, Andre, who just happens to draw comics as well. You can also go to patreon.com/kindoffunny. The fan mail tier there is an art print from Panda Musk of shirtless Spider-Man and Spider-Man, not me. Nothing to do with me.
Nope.
Meanwhile,
best friends.
Exactly. I just
take
photos for him.
Yeah.
Just take photos for him. It's not a big deal.
Best friends.
RTX London is next week. You can get all the information right now at kindoffunny.com/RTX London. Worth pointing out, RTX London, a jam-packed schedule for myself, Tim, and Andy. Some of it, most of it, not announced. But if you go to kindoffunny.com/RTX London, you will see the two things that have been announced. We will add in the other panels as they officially get announced. However, Kimmy wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hi, KFGD crew from rainy old Manchester, UK. This is more of a plea for help. It's been a very rough year for me and my partner, Ash. A lot of bad luck has happened." She then went through to explain all this stuff. And I say, "I understand, Kimmy, but I don't need to read it all for you. A lot of bad things happened. He booked a visit to RTX London for the sole hope of being able to shake Greg's hand, but we couldn't afford to get him a platinum ticket. Because of this, he's been unable to book an autograph spot with you guys. And by the time they went on general sale, the platinum ticket holders had snapped them up. I haven't seen him this deflated in a long time, as we used the last of our money to get him to RTX. Is there anything I can do to get him a chance to shake the hand of someone at KFGD and bring some happiness to him? Thanks for making a smile during a tough year, Kimmy." Kimmy, of course there is. First off, the tickets, the general admission autograph thing went live today. I didn't know about it. That's all run through RTX. But I saw over on the Reddit, r/kindoffunny, a thread about how, like, oh, they were all out. Oh, no, actually, here's a tweet from RTX London that says there was a snafu. So they're probably still available. Maybe not, but probably. Let's say they aren't, though. The easiest thing, Kimmy, is that we go to these things to meet you. Go to the Kind of Funny panel, the big panel we've been promoted. Afterwards, we come off stage and sign, shake hands, and hang out. Don't worry. We're not going to run away and disappear. This is all about meeting you. The whole reason we're coming is to meet you. We're just trying to meet you all inside of the confines of RTX because, of course, they paid the bills to get you there. You want to bring people to RTX.
Exactly.
And then today's show of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Third Love, but we'll talk about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Five items on the Roper Report, cool, Greg.
A baker's dozen.
Number one, PlayStation has released August's top PSN downloads. Mm-hmm. PlayStation 4 games read like this. Madden NFL 19 in the number one spot. Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition at number two. Number three, GTA 5, of course. Number four, Rainbow Six Siege. Number five, God of War. Number six, Battlefield 1. Number seven, Minecraft. Number eight, The Walking Dead, The Final Season. Number 9, Battlefield 4. And number 10, Rocket League. Meanwhile, over on the PlayStation VR game side, number 1, Firewall Zero Hour. The system works, Belinda. We come out here, we say these games are great, and people pick them up.
Yes.
Also, people pick up things we don't say. It doesn't matter. It's not just us. I'm not claiming credit. I'm saying I'm a big Firewall fan. We'll get to that in a second. Then it's Job Simulator, Surgeon Simulator, Super Hot, Killing Floor, Rick and Morty, Arizona Sunshine, Electronauts, Until Dawn, and VR Worlds. Belinda, anything surprise you on here?
Nothing really surprising. I like that God of War is still up there on PS4 games because I picked it up kind of late.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I picked it up, I want to say a few weeks ago or a month ago, and I love it. It's super great.
It's my game of the year still.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I talked about it actually on our Game Boys of Color podcast, and I just kept saying, like, fluid. It's so fluid. Right. Everything doesn't seem like you're, like, playing through like a UI, like nothing seems like it just flows so well, and I love the story, and it's really great. And if you haven't picked it up, pick it up now because it's okay. I was late too.
It's so. Okay. Don't be ashamed. Get in there and get it.
The only thing that I hate about picking up things super late is like you miss out on all the dank memes that happen during the
I mean,
time.
That's the thing. Is like it's either you run the risk of being spoiled, or you don't understand what's happening as it happens.
Exactly.
The boy, all that stuff, right? And that's the thing right now.
I do not know.
Like many people, you know, when I was like, oh, I platinum Spider-Man, oh, I got this, or when I'd be tweeting vaguely about games I was playing while I was playing Spider-Man, people was like, oh, man, you know, you get Spider-Man early and you're super lucky. And that's all true. But I want you to know how disappointed I am that for everybody playing Spider-Man now, they have photo mode. Because photo mode is a day one patch. So I didn't have it when I have it. So I see like all these amazing photos going up and I'm like, damn.
That would explain it. I was like, this is something that Greg totally would have taken advantage of if he had it.
Well, I mean, it's same thing happened for God of War and I was heartbroken about that. Because if you remember when Horizon originally launched, I had like 45 photos I thought were amazing and I put them all up. And I would have loved to have done that for Spider-Man, but now is wait for the DLC,
I guess.
You
can do it now.
Do it. Yeah, but is the New Game Plus out and I think it has trophy. It doesn't. I think New Game Plus came with the day one patch. And I also think there's no trophy, so why would I? Why would I go back? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll just wait for Black Cat. October's coming quick. Again, though, shout out to Firewall Zero Hour at the number one spot on PSVR. We love that game here. Kevin, myself, we had David on earlier this week who loves it a lot, too. I'm excited to get back to it. I thought on PlayStation 4, shout out to Madden. I mean, I know it's not surprising it's the number one download. It kicks off usually the start of the season of video games. Mm-hmm. But I also feel like there was a time when Madden was this is insulting in a way. Madden was a huge deal in a different way. Where there were the commercials of, it's Madden Day. Everything is going to shut down for Madden. When now it really is just a game that comes out and that people love and play, but doesn't do
well. Obviously, it's number one. So
sure. It was able to beat Grand Theft Auto 5. Decade-old game. They keep people putting it. I know it's a joke. Don't you wrong me. Number eight, though, The Walking Dead, The Final Season. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with that.
Yes,
Did you play any of The Walking Dead ever?
No, but I do love Telltale. I've played Tales of the Borderlands, which is like one of my favorite games.
Amazing game.
Ever. So great.
Yeah.
I love Gordis. Like,
Oh,
my God.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those things with Telltale where, like, you just hope to God that it's like a canon thing because you fall in love with everybody. And that's something that Telltale does really well is like make you love their characters. So I'm sure a lot of people are pretty heartbroken that it's the final season. But
see, I go the other way. I'm happy it's finally ending because it's like I felt like they kind of lost their momentum. And I thought that was going to be an interesting test to see, do people care about it being the final season? So the fact that it's charting is impressive, I think, for them and shows a success. Yeah. I'll be interested to see as the episodes continue to come out, if they continue to do the story justice like I feel it did in episode one, if it'll actually stick around and stay on the charts.
For me, for The Walking Dead, I feel like the progress mirrored like the show's progress. So it's like when that was really high, the game was really high, like the comics were really high, and like everything was at this like super, super hyped position. So
yeah, I think this the struggle with The Walking Dead game was the fact that season one caught people so off guard, and then... I don't know what Telltale's initial plan was, if it was always going to be following Clem's story or whatever, but then season two and 400, and like they put so much in there. That, I'm not saying it's filler content. I enjoyed playing it, but it's definitely not on the level season one was. Correct. And granted, something comes out of left field and catches you off guard. Can anything ever do that again if you're expecting it? Mm-hmm. But I really feel like they've simplified it with season the final season. And like I've talked about on the Gamescast, like if you haven't played the other ones, don't worry about it. You can jump from season one to the last season. And it is very much like, oh, here's a quick recap of things that really only mattered in season one. Yeah, and then a couple things that happened over here. Sure. Number two. State of Decay 2 and Sea of Thieves have exceeded expectations. This is from Christopher Dring over at GamesIndustry.biz. Over there, he had an interview with Aaron Greenberg, friend of the show and Xbox marketing boss, who said the following. Sea of Thieves is a big priority for us. Both Sea of Thieves and State of Decay 2 were, for us, breakout hits of the spring. They exceeded what we expected them to do. Sea of Thieves has over 5 million players. State of Decay 2 has more than 3 million players. They both sold more than we expected and drove a lot of great engagement with Game Pass. For Sea of Thieves, developer Rare has dedicated teams that are building add-on content that's completely free. The entire community gets them. They've added new ships, gameplay, quests, and things that is... That's what he said. Going to be great for engaged fans who want to keep playing. But every couple of months, the game gets bigger. So it also enables us to go back to people who never played and introduce that to them, introduce them to it. That's modern marketing. People don't need to get a new game to get new content and innovation. Did you play either of these games?
No, I haven't. But I really wanted to play Sea of Thieves at E3. And I just saw the trailer and we passed by the booth and it was just beautiful. And, you know, you stand there and they have the TV like playing all the trailers over and over again.
Yeah.
And it looked super great. So I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah. I mean, starting with Sea of Thieves, rocky launch. Right. Mm-hmm. And shout out, by the way, to Reset Era. I found this one through them over there because the giant piece they have up on Games Industry Biz. But this was the two pieces that stood out to me after seeing them on Reset. It was a rocky launch of going and being like, oh, this is content light. But you look at every other games as a service that have come out and rebounded from that, whether it be For Honor, right? Siege coming out and not being content bare, but not getting the right reaction.
Yeah.
And what I was blown away was looking through the Reset Era threads, just page one, there were so many people being like, man, this is like my game of the year because they've stuck with it and they've had so much fun. And you like, you know, look at our friends over at Achievement Hunter who do these amazing Let's Plays of it. We tried to, on opening week, do a Sea of Thieves Let's Play. Andy hadn't installed it and we had bought all these props and then we never went back to it. But I agree with what Aaron Greenberg's saying here, right? He's got the right idea. That's modern marketing. People don't need to get a new game to get new content and innovation. That's the brilliance of where we're at right now, is that you can have a rocky launch and you can put out a game that is, okay, it's not poorly received, but people are like, meh, whatever. And then 6 months from now, a year from now, at the next E3, really be like, here's all these content drops. And if you haven't come, here's what you've missed. And then State of Decay 2, you know, I was a big State of Decay fan. Love Undead Labs. I forget how many hours I put into State of Decay 2. It was too similar for me, but I'm glad that it found an audience of people who missed maybe the first one. And I think that's why I'm glad Xbox picked up Undead Labs. And I'm happy that they're happy with it. That, this is what we always talk about, right? Of what are the expectations these developers there? We'll eventually talk about THQ Nordic. Don't worry. A lot of tweets about that yesterday when they blew my goddamn mind and brought back Amalur. But what are the expectations? And so it's cool to see Aaron be like, these exceeded ours. We didn't expect these to do that well.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the future. How are you going to handle these games? Number three, sad news. Carbine Studios has closed its doors. This is from Jason Schreier over at Kotaku. Carbine Studios, the developer of the massively multiplayer online game Wildstar, is shutting down, Kotaku has learned. 50 people will lose their jobs in the process. According to a person briefed on the shutdown, the game will also come to a close. Staff were informed of the closure at a meeting today, according to someone who was in the room. But it had been looming for a while after at least two of the studio game projects failed to gain traction with the studio's parent company, Korean publisher NCSoft. Quote, today we are closing Carbine Studios and will begin the process of winding WildStar down to ultimately shutter the game, NCSoft said in a statement. WildStar players who have spent money within the game will be refunded purchases from July 1, 2018 until a payment system is shut off. We are also in the process of identifying the teams that will be doing the work to bring WildStar to a close. These decisions are very difficult to make, and we are in the midst of shifting as many of our teammates as possible into other roles within the organization.
It's always really sad to hear that a company is closing its doors like that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember actually last RTX or a couple of RTXs ago, there was a game called Gigantic
that
and I enjoyed it a lot and I thought it was beautiful. It was really fun. We kept going back to the booth and playing it. And they recently shut down, I think right before this year's RTX. And it, you know, breaks your heart a little bit because like you may have enjoyed it.
But, right. I mean, WildStar was... aggressive isn't the right thing, but WildStar stood out. I remember when they came through for Up at Noon, and correct me if I'm wrong, everybody, on kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I believe this is the Mike Donatelli episode that came by for Up at Noon, where they came in and they pitched it, and they had a lot of great ideas of how to make a modern MMO, because modern MMOs, right, are so dated when you think of an MMO, and then you can make the argument, of course, many of the games we play today are MMOs, but not in the same function, not in the same way. And they had all these cool ideas, so at least, I mean, and I forget when the Donatelli episode was, again, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. It's been going for a while, at least, which is nice. But yeah, it's always sad to see, you know, 50 people lose their job. So shout out to them. Good job making it this far. And I'm sure, as usual, the games industry will put up all sorts of posts and get you somewhere you could be. Number four, Civilization VI is coming to Switch. This is via JapaneseNintendo.com. Take-Two Interactive have announced the award-winning turn-based strategy game Sid Meier's Civilization VI for Nintendo Switch, releasing on 16 November 2018 in North America, with other regions likely to follow. The Switch version includes the latest game updates and adding four new civilizations, leaders, and scenarios. There's a Vikings pack, a Poland pack, Australia pack, sometimes Australia and Austria throw me off, and I got to really stop and slow down. I'm fine. And then Persia and Macedonia pack.
Words are hard.
Words are hard. And, you know, nobody ever thinks about it. You're reading, you're talking, you got to drink your drinks. There's a lot going on over here.
Absolutely.
I can't pay attention to every word and every syllable.
It's crazy because Civ is such a game. I know this because my roommate and my boyfriend are obsessed and play it all the time. That is a very addictive game.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it's totally a good game to have on the Switch, kind of like how I felt with... Stardew Valley. I think it's like it's a really good Switch game. Like you can just play it wherever.
Yep.
So yeah, this is going to be really cool.
I feel like this is, you're 100% correct. The massive games that work so well on the Switch, right? Mm-hmm. Where it is that, I'm 30, 40 hours into Octopath Traveler and I'm all set for Valkyria Chronicles 4 and I just want to get lost in this because it comes with me and goes anywhere with me. And that was the thing of, you know, I know they put out Civ Rev on, or maybe it might have even said Civ Rev 2 on Vita, but it ran poorly and it wasn't the full-blown Civ game. To have the full-blown Civ game there, and I got to go do pre-release for Civ 6, right? I went to Maryland and did a piece for them, 2K, about like talking to the developers and what the game was, and like it's a massive game and it's awesome. And I feel like the problem has been that Civ is walled off to so many people, where it is just a PC title, right? And even when you see Civilization Revolution come over, it's not the exact same experience, and you have a trouble understanding why. So to get it on Switch and have it, if it runs well and works,
it's going
to
be great. Super great. Yeah.
And then final news story, number five, there are new Overwatch League teams. This is from Shabana Arif over at IGN. The Overwatch League has signed six more teams for the 2019 season. Six new franchises have been added to the Overwatch League, including Chengdu. Hagzao, oh my god. Paris, Toronto, Vancouver, and Washington, D.C. The additions bring the roster up to 20 teams, with nine of them from outside the U.S. The Overwatch League's inaugural season was a great success, said Activision Blizzard's Bobby Kotick. This past season alone, fans spent 160 million hours watching the leading Overwatch players in the world compete. We are thrilled to add eight new outstanding team owners from Europe, China, and North America to our Overwatch League ownership group. We now have 20 of the very best owners in professional sports, end quote.
So the first thing I ever did in games journalism was actually esports journalism for a site called Double Tap Esports. And it was my absolute favorite thing. I follow the LCS, like League sure. Esports, really closely. So when they introduced like Overwatch Esports, I was super excited.
Right.
And what's really cool about being in San Francisco is that San Francisco has their own team. They have SF Shock, and so there are like bars across the city that have like watch parties. Mm-hmm. And I went to one over at Golden Gate Tap Room. If you've ever been there.
No.
Oh my God, it's so great. They have like arcade games and everything.
Nice.
Oh my God, you should.
Where
it's
is
really
it?
Awesome. It's down on Sutter.
Okay.
Like down in downtown. And so I went and I was like, you know, it's an esports like public outing. Like, you know, I can just go. And it was packed.
Yeah.
So many people. And the spirit in a room when people are cheering for esports is, it's amazing. I love it. It's such a great community to be
You
in.
Talked about, you know, that's where you started, right? Esports yeah. and stuff. Have you already seen it grow? Like, I mean, is it expanding at leaps and bounds?
Absolutely. So, So the Overwatch finals was happening, and I was like down at a bar. I don't always go to bars.
Listen, I have a problem, and if I'm not here, if I'm not on camera at school, I'm at a bar.
yeah, and I was at like a sports bar, and then you see like Giants, A's, and then you see Overwatch.
That's
and
awesome.
It warms my heart. I love esports. I think it's totally growing, and it's gonna be great, and it's gonna be big. And I love that Overwatch is expanding. I remember when it released, I remember thinking it's like their first like original IP in a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
Before this, they had Heroes, which like essentially took characters from their other IPs. And so Overwatch was like this big new thing, and it's such a success, and I'm really happy about it.
Yeah, it's crazy. I went to the Madden tribute event yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things I was talking about is how diverse and how broad the gaming umbrella is now.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it's heartening that I've known about esports for years, mm-hmm. and it's not my bag, and mm-hmm. I haven't followed it. Mm-hmm. But to start seeing the crossover where I can't avoid it anymore, and people yeah. like Golden Boy and all these, and like I'm talking to people that are involved and do love it, and it's seeing the chip damage of, yeah, it is on a TV at a Wild Wings, it is over here, this yeah. is happening, and you see it picking up momentum and really being this dimension of gaming that maybe I don't know if I'll ever like fall in love with or be a part of, but mm-hmm. it's doing its own thing, and it's yeah. growing exponentially, and that's what I like to see.
Absolutely.
And I like to see obviously the dedication to this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we've all seen, we're doing this competition, this league, this tournament, and then like they make a big deal about it and then it fades away.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, yeah, you know, Bobby Kotick is out here talking about 160 million hours spent watching, right? And now they have 20
it's
teams
amazing.
And
yeah.
they're gearing up here for the 2019 season. I got this dork I work with, Andy Cortez, on the other side. He's always wearing esports jerseys. I don't yeah. even know what they mean half the time.
And if you've ever been to BlizzCon, it's all centered around esports. They have all the finals. They have WoW finals. They have Overwatch tournaments. They have like all these things, and people are there for esports. It's really cool. It's like the community is there, and if you're not involved in it, check it out. There's a lot more people into it than you would think.
Melinda, I'm excited to see what the Overwatch League has in 2019.
I'm
Maybe
sure
that's what'll get me. But 2019 is still so far away. If I wanted immediate things like video games and mom and grop shops, where would I go?
I think, Greg, the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
I miss Kevin. Kevin usually does the yeah with me.
Mm.
But Cool Greg just gets up and leaves in the middle of it. Huh? Insulting.
He doesn't care.
Out today, Arcane Islands Volume 1 on Xbox One, Boundless Early Access on PlayStation 4, Dead Age on Xbox One, Full Blast on Switch, Immortal Unchained, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Kingsguard TD on Xbox One. Marvel's Spider-Man on PlayStation 4. Mummy Pinball Switch. NASCAR Heat 3 on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. NBA Live 19, the One Edition, PS4, Xbox One. You had a funny story. Last night you said you went to pick up Spider-Man, and they're like, do you want NBA?
Yeah, they were like, oh, are you here to order 2K19? And I was like, no.
What?
Is
no.
it? I was like, is it not September?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, everybody's in Spider-Man outfits around
yeah,
you.
And
like,
then
I don't
I'm
know.
Just like, is that all that's releasing?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hilarious. I totally forgot that was also releasing today, but it is.
There you go. NBA Live 19. out of the box, Xbox One. Shall Nor Legends Sacred Lands on Xbox One. Siggy, a fart for Melusina, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Switch. SNK Heroes, Tag Team Frenzy, PS4, and Switch. Super Inefficient Golf on Switch. Yo-Kai Watch Blasters, Red Cat Court on Switch. And then also Yo-Kai Watch Blasters, White Dog Squad on Switch.
Super Inefficient Golf sounds like something I'd be good at instead of regular golf.
Sure. Yeah. Totally. Well, yeah, I mean, you see all these ones. There's this, there's Golf Story, there's weird golf games everywhere now. Nobody like everybody's golf. What up, everybody? You know what I mean? Still putting out content for it. Get back on it. I keep wanting to, but I don't, but I digress. Now it's time for reader mail, but first, I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by Third Love. Third Love is a company revolutionizing the bra game. And you might say, Greg, that's pretty cool that Kinda Funny's community is diverse enough to have a bra ad. And
very
I say,
cool.
Yes, it is. Third Love's whole thing is that they use thousands of real women's measurements. Third Love designs its bras with breast size and shape in mind so that they fit impeccably and feel even better. The most sizes of any brand, Third Love just added 24 new sizes, making them the industry leader with a total of 70 sizes. And you can skip the trip, find your fit in 60 seconds online, order, and try it on at home. No awkward fitting room experiences. How do we know it works? Gia uses it. Tim's Gia is using. Isn't that right, Tim?
Yeah, that's right.
She likes it a lot.
And her friends like it.
And she's
one of her friends
they can't hear you. You know how the mics work. I'm not going to let you ruin my show doing that, all right?
One of her friends.
Is that on Cool Greg? Wait, hold on. You know how Cool Greg is. You got to make sure everything's right. There we go.
One of her friends really likes the nude-colored one. She wears it when she wears white T-shirts, and it doesn't show through. And another one of her friends says she really enjoys the black lacy one, and, quote, the guys like it.
I guilted Jen on this show yesterday about it because she still hasn't redeemed her code to go get these things. And every time we go anywhere, to like, PAX, oh, I brought the wrong bra. Oh, I did this. Let Third Love take care of you, Jen. Third Love has most sizes, as I've covered. They have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Returns and exchanges are free and easy. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they are offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off. Belinda?
What's up?
We're starting with Sarah.
All right.
Sarah writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hi, everyone. Happy September 7th. Super hyped to play Spider-Man today when I get home from work, hoping to get it finished over the weekend. I haven't listened to the Gamescast review yet. I've been saving that for when I'm on my way home to play. Just wondering if you'll be doing a spoiler cast episode in the next few weeks when people have had a chance to play. I understand why the review is spoiler free, but I'm sure I will want to hear your thoughts on everything in the game once I have completed it. Love what you guys do. Be nice to that chicken, Sarah Morris.
Thank you, Sarah.
Sarah, breaking news for you. Monday afternoon, we are recording the Kinda Funny spoiler cast for Spider-Man. Me, Tim, probably Andy if he beats this weekend. I think he can do it. And Brian Intihar from Insomniac.
It's going to be great.
So following up on how we did God of War with Corey, Brian's coming up to answer all our burning questions. So, of course, I will probably put out somewhere, probably should talk to Joey about this, somewhere to field questions from you all. But maybe just Twitter, but just don't include anybody else with spoilers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I forget how I did it last time. Anyways, did you get to play Spider-Man at all last night?
I did. So what we all did, the little gaming section of GOC, me, Ocon, Gabe, and Jordan all got Spider-Man, had a little Spidey party on Discord last night.
Okay.
What's really cool is like everybody plays differently, right?
Sure.
You know, one of us is going to play through the story. And what I did is I swung through the city because the swinging is
so good.
It's so fun. And swing through the city, and then I unlocked all of the little towers because I got really good at the wavelength thing, and I was like, try me.
Yeah.
So I swung through, and so I have discovered all of the land, and now I'm on backpacks.
Yep. You're playing it right, man. This is what I stress to everybody, right?
I'm trying to drag it out so I don't, like, play through the story. I'm like, oh, now there's backpacks I have to get.
Yeah. That's I think it's, fun. Like, all the things they have you do are so rewarding,
yes.
Whether it be XP or a suit or whatever. Even swing speeds, like, right? Like, you're going to, if you think swinging feels good now, wait till you get to the end of that game, you're level 40, whatever, and you're swinging around. You're like, you're going to be cruising.
What I really like about this Spider-Man game is that you're not shooting web into places that wouldn't work in
clouds.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
so
yeah.
What I was saying is like you're in the city and you're swinging, you're going super fast. You pass through Central Park and you're like, where
yeah,
are
yeah,
my
yeah,
towers?
Yeah, you just have to web zip tree to tree to tree.
Yeah, and then the trees are like very low and you're like this. And then you like hit the ground, you're like, I guess I'm walking.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. But again, wait till you get a little bit further and you've perfected the ability to like do what, you know, you can do the stop and perch, but you can also do it and then fly off it.
Feels so
when you
good.
Get that down so and you great. That becomes second nature, like that's when you can just still do the same thing, like parkour through Central Park, and it's great. Mm-hmm. Spider-Man, what a game.
So great.
Graham B writes in.
Hi, Graham.
Says, hey, kind of funny, Games Daily crew. Been listening since PlayStation Beyond. Interesting, the podcast is called Podcast Beyond. Faker. But first time riding in. Last night I was at Best Buy and discovered they were selling Spider-Man at 9 p.m. instead of midnight. This was a bummer to me since I had the game pre-ordered digitally. I discovered later that they were not the only retailer to do this. My question is whether it is fair to those who purchase digital, and if this practice continues, should digital games open up at 9 p.m. instead of midnight? I kind of feel this defeats the purpose of a Friday release. Now, you and I were talking about this. Because here on the West Coast, we are blessed enough that our digital games do unlock at 9 p.m.
Yep, exactly.
I was unaware that, I guess that makes sense, that yeah, it's 9 p.m. for us, which would be 12 p.m. midnight for East Coast.
Yeah.
And why are they doing it 9 p.m. at the store? I don't know. All I would say, move to West Coast, Best Coast. That's pretty much it.
West Coast, Best Coast.
Am I right, Cool Greg?
Yeah, you're right.
Thanks, buddy.
I don't try to buy games digitally just because I'm a very much a physical media person.
Yeah.
So when the guys at GOC were like, let's all play, and I was like, oh, that means I have to buy it digitally. I want the case.
Yeah.
And GameStop in Emeryville, I went there at 9, and I got to pick it up at 9. So I was like, are there places that, like,
I think it's East Coast, right?
But
that doesn't make sense to me why East Coast or even Central Time, Best Buy's at 9 are saying okay to sell.
Right.
That's the weird part, right? Then they should be waiting for midnight. But then again, they probably want to send their employees home.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All I know is that it works out well for us.
Yeah, it does. West Coast, Best Coast.
It's the problem of there's no way to do this. There's no easy way to do this and coordinate and make it a big thing. Because even, you know, for on the inside of us, right? That sounds weird. On the inside of Kind of Funny, right, for embargoes and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The review embargo, of course, was Tuesday morning. The embargo for live streams and this, and you probably saw it, was all yesterday, Thursday morning at 8 a.m. or whatever, because that's the first time it coordinated that internationally it was available in stores somewhere else. And so are we all, do you have to move release dates to all be 8 a.m. wherever? This is all, it's why New
Time
Year's is celebrated twice. Yeah, exactly. I know. I think as you get, I'm surprised. I mean, I guess not really, no. I'm not surprised, I guess, when I think it out that New York is still keeping you to a midnight release date because they have to say a day and that has to be the day and that's the day. Sucks for you guys, but yeah.
Just fly over here.
Yeah,
pick
exactly.
it up, go back.
Maybe that's what'll keep it all alive a little bit longer, your mom and grop shops.
We have Cruel.
Yeah, Cruel. Well, I don't go in order necessarily. I like to hop around sometimes if I feel like we've burned it out. You keep your mouth shut, right?
Sorry.
No, you're taking over? Look at me. I'm the captain now. Cruel Connor writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, Greg and Belinda.
Hi.
I work in retail, and this morning I sold the Spider-Man PlayStation 4 console to a consumer. As I brought the console up to the counter, the man was losing his mind with excitement and verbally shouted, yes! And giving fist pumps. As he left the building, he shouted, woo! At the top of his lungs. And damn it, it just made me so happy seeing a fellow gamer this happy and excited. And it made me remember how special video games really are. My question is, have you ever had a moment where you couldn't control your excitement as you were buying a game?
That would have been Overwatch, actually.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it was, I was waiting for it, like, for a while, and I was really excited for it. And as someone that, you know, spent her whole life playing RPGs and never really played online, just because girls playing online gets a little
difficult. Badly.
Yeah. as me and Jen were talking about, actually, in the back, we're just like, yeah, it's fun. But yeah, so this is the first one that I got like really excited for, and I went in and I was like, give me my game, and I was super excited. But I can feel myself, this is exactly how I'm going to pick up Kingdom Hearts 3.
Oh my gosh, okay.
100,000 1,000%. Will be in like garb and I will be like screaming and I'll bring a keyblade and I'll be like, you give me my game that I've been waiting for a very long time.
Understandable. Yes.
So yeah, that's probably exactly what I would do.
I'll give you two. The one is one I've talked about a lot, obviously, as that I'm a huge wrestling video game aficionado. And back in the day when you know, release dates were a little bit more lax, mm-hmm. I'd come home and I knew when WrestleMania 2000 was supposed to drop. And I would call Walmart every day and a whole bunch of stores every day. Yeah. And so one day I called in Walmart and it was like a day or two before release was supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, we got it. I'm like, are you selling it? They're like, yeah. And I was like, what? And I jumped in the car and I drove over there and I raced in. I was driving. And I was so excited and so happy. And I looked, I was just about to pull into a Walmart and along the sidewalk, there was these kids running and I was like, oh, that's cute. And they were in wrestling shirts. And I was like, oh fuck. And like whipped the car in there and parked probably illegally and ran in and bought my copy. Nobody was there. Nobody gave a mm-hmm. shit. It was just me. And sure. The second one would be, I want to say it was Uncharted 3, but maybe it was Uncharted 2. Mm. No, because Colin was part of it, so it must have been Uncharted 3. Uncharted 3, I think it was, where Sony was like, oh yeah, we have them, we're going to mail them. And we were like, fuck that, we're driving down to get them. And we drove from, we raced from
it's
IGN
an
down there. Yeah.
It's
oh,
fun.
Same thing with yeah. Metal Gear 2, where mm-hmm. Metal Gear 5, sorry, Jesus, I'm old. Metal Gear 4 on PlayStation 3 got misdelivered to a wrong address, and we were waiting for review copies, and I spent like an hour and a half like tracking it down and finally drove to wherever they misdelivered it and talked to the guy and got my copy and ran back. That's what, but games are special. That's what it's about.
They're so special. That's kind of why I like going to the store and getting it. Mm-hmm. It's so much more satisfying to me, and I love being there and like talking to other people that are also getting the game. You excited? What are you, blah, blah, blah. And I just like being around people that are there for the same reason.
I'm very digital. I'm all in on digital, really? Right? Yeah. And I'm lucky enough to get a lot of games early and stuff
I'm
like that.
I'm the same way with comics, though. Ooh. I love going to the comic store on Wednesdays.
Sure.
And it's packed and people are there and everyone's there.
What's on your pull list? What's happening? Yeah.
Right now, Saga's on their hiatus.
I know, right? Heartbreaking.
Oh my God. Are you caught up on
no,
Saga?
No, I'm still a couple issues back. But now that they're on hiatus, I want to go read from beginning to end.
That's what everyone's saying. And so what I did was I read trades, and then what I did in this last arc is I went every month and got single issues, and then I wait until the arc was finished, and then I like read them. That's
smart.
Usually how I do that. Actually with Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And then they had announced that they were going on this like year hiatus, and
if not more, right?
And they were
at least
like,
a year.
Maybe.
You're like, I'm not gonna see
like,
this. It's gonna be 5 years before
you?
Saga comes back.
And they're always really good. They always have this run. And then they take a little break and mm-hmm. then they come back mm-hmm. and they've been very consistent for a long time. So it's understandable if they need this time. But when you do
catch
caught
up,
just
it's bad. Bad cliffhanger.
It was the most emotional that I've.
Damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you're going to need the year. So
damn it.
You need the whole year. Also, oh, Monstrous, if you haven't checked
I haven't
out
started
Monstrous.
That one yet, no.
Yeah, I'm a big Image comics person.
What's I don't know. What's the pitch on Monstrous?
Monstrous takes place in kind of like a different kind of Japan. And like the art is like art deco, like steampunk. And it's beautiful. And the writer, actually, Marjorie Liu, mm-hmm. she just won the Eisner for Best Writer.
Okay.
First woman to win that. Yeah, so it'd be great. And then the artist does both the covers and the interiors, and it's beautiful.
Okay.
Totally.
I'll check it out. I'll check it out. Sam writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says,
hi, Sam.
Angry Greg voice. Gregory James motherfucking Miller. Why in the ever-living fuck aren't the creator wrestler host that you've built for Kind of Funny up on firepro-w.com? Do you not want... Wait, how long is it? Oh, it goes really long. I'm not going to do this whole thing. He's yelling at me for, if you remember when FirePro review code came out, I made all of Kind of Funny in it, in the rings and all that shit, mm-hmm. and uploaded it up there, and everybody had a great time. I'm going to get to where he's done that. All that being said, I'm loving both this game and what you've uploaded so far, and it's looking like this will be my first platinum. Also, put the part-timers in, goddammit. Sam, I have sad news for me, not even so much for you. So yes, FirePro review code had come out. I made the party mode ring, the Kind of Funny ring. I uploaded all that stuff. I made the 7 core members of Kind of Funny, and they were awesome and amazing. And the problem was you couldn't upload wrestlers yet. That was a day one patch that they were going to add in to do that. When they added the day one patch, and not even the day two patch or whatever they put out that, mm-hmm. it borked saves from before the patch.
Oh, no.
So all those guys are gone, which... is sad on one hand, but also really, whew, I didn't bother programming moves. I didn't do that stuff. Reassembling them is something I will do. It's just now the time of when am I going to find time to sit down and play Fire Pro as we get ready to go to RCX and there's a million reviews coming in and all this jazz. I will one day make everybody again, but right now they're gone.
Take his word for it. He will.
If somebody else who's talented in the community wants to go out and make these characters too, let me know. I'll be the final verdict if they're great or not, but we'll go from there. Give them moves too. Corey from Canada writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You said hi to him?
Yeah, I said cool. Hi, Corey.
I feel like I'm talking over you. I know, but I keep talking over you when I introduce him, and I want to make sure you're getting your highs in there. That's all, Belinda. You're in charge now. Corey. I don't want to get in trouble. Yesterday on the show, Tim and Jared were discussing THQ Nordic after news broke of them acquiring the rights to Kingdom of Amalur. And Tim mentioned how every time THQ Nordic are brought up on Games Daily, it's done in almost a snide way because they don't have a proven track record yet. And they seem to be buying up all these fledgling franchises. I'm going to stop your question there, Corey. A lot of people wrote in about this. More people tweeted me about this. I am very much on the record as I love Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning. That game's fucking amazing. It didn't get a fair shake. Blah, 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 blah. I'm also on the record as being like, what the fuck is THQ Nordic doing? Like, I don't understand their business model. So many people wrote to me on Twitter yesterday, including you, Mick Fixer, saying like, hey, oh man, let's change your, are you going to change your tune now? And I'm like, I want to be very clear. I've never said fuck THQ Nordic. They suck. I'm always just like, I don't understand what you're doing. And I hope this business model works for you. And this is what I was talking about with Xbox, right? What are their expectations? They haven't been up about that. Mm-hmm. Buying Kingdoms of Amalur, great move for me. I just want to, yes, please give me a remaster or a re-release of that on PlayStation 4 so I can go for the platinum. But I'm still very much of like, how much do these licenses cost? And how much are you expecting to get out of them and all these different things? Mm-hmm. I don't hate THQ Nordic. I worry about their business decisions, and I want Lars, I think, who's in charge of it, to come on the show and talk to me about it, because obviously I want to talk to everybody who's doing cool shit. And they're doing very cool, weird shit.
Cool, weird shit.
I digress. Back to Corey's question, though. But I never hear any mention from you guys about THQ Nordic's upcoming 2019 game, Biomutant. They recently released a pretty extensive gameplay demo online, and any buzz I've heard surrounding the game seems to be fairly positive. I, for one, am looking forward to this title, as it seems to be a very interesting new IP. I guess my questions are this. Are any of the Kind of Funny Games Daily crew interested in this game at all? Are you hearing any industry buzz surrounding it yourselves? Have you seen any demos or gotten any hands-on time with it at any trade shows or behind closed doors that you can talk about in any way? I'd love to hear your thoughts, as I'm cautiously optimistic about what this game could turn out to be. Are you familiar with Biomutant?
I am not, actually. This is the first time hearing of it.
Corey put it in here. I was like, Biomutant, I do know this name. Why do I know this name? Hmm. Went to YouTube. Popped in, immediately saw this like mouse hamster character with his, I'm like, oh, I remember getting an email about this. Watched the gameplay demo and I left the same way when I first saw it. And I'm just like, doesn't look that good. It doesn't look bad. It looks like what a THQ game would have been. Just this mid-tier, we're running around doing stuff. And okay. And it's like, okay, cool. Like, that's going to speak to people. People are going to enjoy it. But to answer your questions, are we interested in this game at all? I'm not. I don't know how much other people are. I'm interested to see, as usual, I'm not saying, again, be very clear here. I'm not saying fuck Biomutant to the ground. I'm saying, I'll keep my eye on it, but it's definitely not.
You just said fuck Biomutant.
But I didn't. I mean, that way you can take anything out of context. You know what I mean? You can take anything. I can say fuck Cool Greg into the ground, and they clip just that out, and they think I'm yelling at Cool Greg, but I'm not. I'm not. I am saying Shirtless Spider-Man has kept taggers away from our building, but I'm just putting that out there. I just don't see anybody tagging our building. So no, I don't think anybody at Kind of Funny is all that stoked for Biomutant. Mm-hmm. Are we hearing any industry buzz surrounding it yourselves? No. I've never heard anyone say Biomutant. I've seen the press releases, so that's okay. Mm-hmm. Have heard no one talk about it. And then have you seen any demos? No, other than what's on YouTube, which you're welcome to go watch. IGN has like a 25-minute demo or a 15-minute demo, something on that. But no, didn't do much for me. I'm excited. You're excited for it, Corey. You're from Canada. Keep it cold. Oh, Dylan has a great question.
Hi, Dylan.
Angry Greg voice. Why the fuck can't your crew listen to your own damn show? And Angry Greg voice. This is a question I've had for quite some time, especially when Tim and Jared read and answer a question that was already addressed the day before in the same show. To be fair, Andrea seems to be pretty good about catching other hosts' episodes, and she is the busiest lady in the business. So what's the excuse? Do you claim to be busier than the busiest lady in the business? Love everything you do. Fuck that chicken. Dylan B. from SD. Yeah, no. I think we're busier than Andrea. It's a title. No, I'm kidding around. It's complicated for bringing in hosts when I'm not here, because I'm the guy who assembles the show every time for a co-host, and I'm good about, all right, cool, I'm going to go back and delete all these questions that have been answered before. But when I'm not there and I come back, I notice that more questions build up. And I think it is that problem of it being a hot potato, of host passing it around, whose responsibility is and not understanding it. I need to make a dummy checklist of, when you are hosting, here's what you do. You take all these things out and eliminate all these things. You're right. Andrea is great about it. Andrea usually listens to the show on her way to the show.
Very, very good.
So that's how she keeps it up. You know what I mean? Tim, he just listens to things with bass in his car. Jared Petty, probably just listening to chiptunes. Nobody knows what he's doing over there. Gary Witta, I don't think he's played a video game in 4 years. But we will try to be better about it. I do understand that. I will try to help figure out a better way to keep people from repeating the same things and going that way. Dylan, we hear you. I agree. I like your question. Has a, you know, a bit of humor in it, so that's good. Creature the Spider writes in, I don't think he caught yesterday's episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Hi,
says,
Creature.
What's good, Greg and Belinda? I'll keep it brief. How can Nintendo announce a Direct and delay it the same week? I don't understand how a couple days can change their confidence in the presentation. Creature, I don't think you caught yesterday's Kind of Funny Games Daily. There was an earthquake in Japan. Yeah. They delayed it out of respect to that. It is not them being like, Direct! And then, you know, like, they're looking at their lineup like, you know what, this isn't worth a Direct. No, there was a tragedy over there, a natural disaster. They're going to do it after they settle all of that information.
You know, what's funny is we're gearing up for the podcast, and Jordan always has a doc that we put all the news
sure.
on. And that morning was just like, so the doc has like Nintendo Direct, blah, blah, blah. And then it was like, just kidding. Never mind.
Yeah.
They're delaying it, but we don't know when it's
yeah, they have not
too.
Announced yeah, a new date,
it.
I think, yeah.
But I'm with Tim as I want Animal Crossing.
God, love Animal Crossing.
I love Animal Crossing. Yeah. That's also a really good Switch game.
Like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. When
out,
that comes to Switch,
fish,
are you kidding me?
Get your fruits, pay your mortgage on the go.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, the things we were hypothesizing is that the Direct was going to be about the online service, mm-hmm. which is supposed to launch in the second half of the month.
Exactly.
I think next week again, probably Monday. Hey, yeah. We're doing the Direct for real this time on this day. Then we go do the Direct and you get all the information.
I'm sure they're ready for it. They're going
to
do it.
They just had to be respectful, which correct. I understand. In the right call. Olent Zero gets the final question of the week. It's not even a question. Olent set wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, extra trophy tip for Greg and the Kind of Funny best friends. Hey, Greg and Belinda. Couldn't believe Monsieur Miller and many Kind of Funny best friends didn't know how to unmask hidden trophies on the PlayStation 4. Here's another must-know tip for the time-efficient trophy lunatic/aficionado. You select the trophy you need help with the options button. I'm sorry. You select the trophy you need help with the options button instead of X, and then you click on Search the Internet. It will redirect you to a Google search for that trophy with YouTube results first. Trophy guides, people, title their videos according to this. Also, if it's a hidden trophy, you need to unmask it first. Good to know, Olin Zero.
I actually also didn't know that.
I didn't know that one either. We're getting deep into that. I mean, I already have PS4 trophies open. I just have Brian's videos playing. I'm like, I don't know. All right, what do I need to do? But that's a good one. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Belinda, this is usually where we squat up. Overnight, nobody wrote in to squat up. Aww. Now, granted, I know a lot of people write in days before and they don't get their things answered. Mm-hmm. For squad ups, it's important. I'm talking about being better for the rest of the people. I clear everything basically at noon from the day before a show.
Mm-hmm.
So if I didn't read your squad up ever, you got to write back in with your squad up. I'm sorry. There was one squad up, and this is something interesting I talk about on Twitter, but I don't talk about. I haven't done on a show. So here you go, breaking information. That's not breaking information, but a policy for Greg Miller and Kind of Funny. One squad up was a GoFundMe. I don't do those, and I'm not sure if I've ever done one for Squad Up. Maybe I have in a very specific instance. But I want to make it clear that obviously I see people tweeting me with GoFundMe charity things for their family members, animals, all sorts of stuff. I feel for you and want to help you. I don't retweet those ever because I feel if I did it for one person, to be fair, I'd have to do it for every person.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, my feed would just become that. Similarly, I saw that as the only Squad Up today, and I was like, I feel like if we did that, it would only be fair than every other time a squad up gets written in.
Mm-hmm.
And but if you don't agree with that, let me know. Kindoffunny.com/KFGD. We can have a conversation about it. Now it's time, Belinda, for your role. This is where people who are watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screwed up as we screwed it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Sonic 200012 said new game plus for God of War launched on August 20th, not day one. Thank you. Lord of Pwns says in January of this year, Gigantic announced that development had stopped and that their servers would go offline at the end of July.
Hmm.
Good. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're making. Eric K's making a joke about Cool Greg, but I'm not following it, so I'm skipping it. Here we go. Lord of Pwn says, just to help, because other languages are hard. He's going to explain how to say the cities I screwed up in the Overwatch thing.
Oh, thank you.
Hangzhou, Chengdu, the S in Vision. Oh, whoa, this is convoluted. Hold on. Gonzin, I think is what you mean there, but you have a whole bunch of it goes gone, dash, parentheses, the S in Vision, parentheses, plus the parentheses, the O in So, parentheses. So it'd be Gonzo? I don't know. I'm going to skip that one. Sorry.
Words are hard.
They are hard. Oh, okay. Interesting. Zyger says, in new releases, Greg said SNK Heroes Tag Team Frenzy is coming out today, but the game is actually called SNK Heroines Tag Team Frenzy as it features an all-girl cast. Mm. Thank you, Zyger.
Awesome.
Zaire says, Yo-Kai Watch Blasters, Red Cat, and White Dog are for 3DS, not Switch. Kotaku, did you screw me? By the way, everybody, I was thinking about putting this in there, but stopped myself. The majority of the things come from Kotaku. I want to give them a shout out because they do a great rundown. And then I add in things from press releases there. So shout out to Kotaku as usual. All right, good call there, Zaire. Thank you. I was like, what the hell? I was like, who's radioing into the show, Corey?
And now live questions. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, right. I did not like that. Cash, in response to Spider-Man 9 p.m. release questions, stores have released eligible games at 9 p.m. at least on the West Coast for around 5 to 6 years. Yeah, no. On the East Coast, I wasn't aware that they released at 9 p.m. in time zones across the U.S. That you didn't really help me out there, Cash. Thank you. Lord of Pwn says, Witcher 3, the digital copy, unlocked at all regions at the same time. Hmm. This meant owners of the digital in the U.S. got the game 5 hours or more earlier. Interesting. Hmm. Lord of Pwn says, Biomutant was the second most popular game at Gamescom, according to IGN. Wow. Very interesting. Okay, and then King Mayuki says, there is some industry buzz for Biomutant. Easy Allies are really excited for it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll look into this. I think Brandon Jones might be rolling through soon. We'll get him to explain why he cares about Biomutant. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Of course, you can watch this recorded live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Watch it later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listen on podcast services around the globe. Your lineup of hosts for next week goes like this. Monday, Greg and Justin Richmond. He used to work at Naughty Dog, then he went over to Riot, and now he's working on a show. We'll talk about that then. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, Greg and Scott Porter. That's right, from Friday Night Lights. Wednesday, Andrea Renee and Gary Whitta. Thursday, Andrea Renee and Jared Petty. Friday, Jared Petty and the one and only Damon Hatfield. A stacked week next week as we head to RTX London. Belinda, thank you so much for coming by today.
Thank you for having me.
One more time, where can everybody get you?
You can find me on Twitter at BBC Garcia, B as in ball, C Garcia. That's mostly where I'm at. I'm always on Twitter. Love it. It's great.
Good platform.
Yeah. And then other than that, I do podcasting for the Whatnots. It's really great. I do it with this guy, Kyle Springer. He's awesome. I am on Game Boys of Color, which is the Geeks of Color gaming podcast. So check that out also. And then I actually have an indie comics podcast coming out.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's news to you, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
It'll be coming out the end of this month. That's at Indie Focus Pod on Twitter, and then at The Whatnots and at Geeks of Color. So
that's awesome.
Just I'm all over the place doing voice things. So if you like the way I talk and want to hear more of it, go to any of those things.
All right.
I'm on there.
Well, thank you so much. You got to come back for the comic podcast sometime.
I would love to.
All right.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
I'll talk all about Monstrous and Saga.
Exactly.
Oh, catch up on Saga.
I'll catch up on Saga. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.